This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about the system being disrupted. Nick Adams is here. We're going to make fun of Elizabeth Warren. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's talk about something good, because there are some very, very good things happening here at the State Department, the Pentagon, believe it or not, and other places inside of the government. Let's just recap where we are and why these things are necessary. The federal government is enormous, way, way, way too big. If you could hold up in front of the founders of this country the size of the modern day federal government, they would honestly, they'd probably just hand the country back to the British. They would look at you like you were insane and say, well, what is this? Government's supposed to be limited here and small. It's enormous. And these various agencies, like the State Department, which we'll get to in a moment, they actually run things. You realize that? You know, you see some new shakeup at a company. We'll call it Starbucks. There's a big shakeup at the company. It's Starbucks, and they'll say, well, there's a new CEO. Have you ever noticed, if you track these things, that the company kind of stays exactly where it was? There aren't new menu items. Stock price, if you look at that thing, stock price is kind of exactly where it was. I thought there was a big shakeup. They got a new CEO. Yeah. Leadership matters. The CEO is not running anything. He's not setting menu items. Oh, I know he has responsibilities, but the vast corporation that is Starbucks has more vice presidents and managers than this guy's, and they're the ones who run things. The United States government is full of communists. 3 million, roughly, federal employees, well north of 90% of them are committed communists, registered Democrats. They vote Democrat, give to Democrats. They are committed communists. And people like you and people like me, we get frustrated when we go to the polls and we vote. Let's say we went and voted for Trump in November, which I did. We go vote, we get Trump in there, we get a Republican in there. And things don't change, or at least not that much, not that quickly. You get some good executive orders, but why don't things change? What? Well, because it's that 3 million person army, that's how you need to think of them, of communists. They're the ones actually running day-to-day operations. And nothing will change, nothing can change until those people are either replaced and, or better off, removed. That is the goal, removed. Let's talk about the State Department. You see, the United States of America has had one foreign policy for most of my entire life. There haven't been huge policy differences because the president doesn't really run the foreign policy. The State Department does. These people, legions of them in the State Department, they are spread not only all across America, they're all across the globe. That's the important part here. And no matter what the Republican president says or Democrat president says, they are marching forward like little minions. They are carrying their message, their view forward, no matter what the big boss says, no matter what you said at the polls. Doesn't matter what the last election was. And there's no way to stop this disgusting, criminal, corrupt system unless you're going to make changes. Marco Rubio, man, I'm not even a Rubio fan, I'll be honest. Historically, if you've watched this show for any length of time, you've heard me be very hard on Rubio on several different occasions. Rubio has been very impressive as Secretary of State, and he did something wonderful. Did it fix everything? Of course not. But he closed 132 agency offices, 700 positions gone. Now, just stop for a moment, because this is not only a good thing, it gives you some idea of what we were dealing with. 132 offices? 132 offices. That means in various locations around the globe, we had 132 different offices that you pay for, 700 positions, you pay for those too, operating as if they run foreign policy. That's insane. You can't have a country like that. And of course, I know the reasons why they put that system in place. There's a reason communists put that system in place. It insulates them from the voter. Doesn't matter. Go ahead and elect your Republican. We have all the communists we want at the State Department. We'll do whatever foreign policy we want. Remember last time Donald Trump impeached from within his own State Department? That's how they work. Rubio's making changes, and I applaud him for it. Sounds like he's making changes as it pertains to Russia-Ukraine, too. This is exactly how we should be talking.
The president has spent 87 days at the highest level of his government, repeatedly taking efforts to bring this war to an end. We are now reaching a point where we need to decide and determine whether this is even possible or not, which is why we're engaging both sides. We need to figure out here now within a matter of days whether this is doable in the short term, because if it's not, then I think we're just going to move on from our perspective.
That's wonderful. I think we're just going to move on. And look, he doesn't speak out of turn. He's not allowed to speak out of turn. That means that's Donald Trump's position. Rubio doesn't have his own policy agenda. His job is to carry out Donald Trump's policy agenda. That means that's what Donald Trump and he have discussed, and that's what they've agreed upon. Either Russia and Ukraine come together and work this thing out, or have a good war, fellas. Let us know how it shakes out. That's the only way this can work. And that's also a good thing. I've been very hard on a lot of people, just felt the need to praise a little bit today. And I want to talk about what's happening at the Pentagon. Okay, and I want you to be crystal clear on something, okay? You have to understand this. If you don't, you can really find yourself getting caught up in the news of the day and caught up in what is not important. Not important. Remember this fact. Fact. The media, in conjunction with Democrats, can and will create the illusion of chaos and dysfunction. Let me repeat that again. The media, in conjunction with Democrats, can and will create the illusion of dysfunction. This is simply a matter of power and money. I'll make it about you. Let's make it about you in your life. Now, let's say you had or have a non-stressful day. Today, maybe it was non-stressful. Maybe tomorrow is non-stressful. Maybe you got to take the kids to school, whatever, run some errands. I could make your day extremely stressful. Could make your day the worst thing in the world. Why? Well, I have a bunch of contacts in the media. I could burn up the phones right now, let them know, hey, should see what Bob's doing tomorrow. This Bob's a shady character. They could start writing articles about you. Man, you should see what Bob's doing. I bet, you know what? I bet Bob shoplifted something at the grocery store. Someone should look into that. Start sticking cameras in your face. Hey, Bob, what do you have to say about the allegations of shoplifting? People are saying, sources are saying, shoplifting. Over and all day long, story after story. Soon, people unwittingly in your own life are participating in it. You're getting calls and texts from your brother. Hey, Bob, did you shoplift something? Hey, did you see what they wrote in the paper? Hey, Bob, by the time the night's done, you're sitting there smoking a cigarette, having a glass of whiskey, having the worst day ever. Out of nothing, out of thin air, I can create chaos for you. The American media does this for Republicans in Washington, D.C., all the time, and Republicans are famous for falling for it and going along with it. They're doing it right now at the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth was opposed vehemently by people like Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham behind the scenes for a reason. They do not want, they cannot afford someone to step in and shake up the way the military-industrial complex has worked in this country. They couldn't stop his nomination, of course, so now they're going to create, and this isn't the last one I should point out, they're going to create scandals out of nowhere. Sources are saying, hey, this guy said, sources are saying, out of nowhere, they're going to create the illusion of chaos and dysfunction. Pete Hegseth talked about it a little bit.
What a big surprise that a bunch of, a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. And on hoaxes, time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me.
is right. And credit where it's due to Mays Moore for putting together this little montage, because this is exactly what they do. The media loves to do this when it's a Democrat scandal, when it's anything, because, again, they view their role as protecting Democrats, slaughtering Republicans and protecting Democrats. For American media people, that is what's right, okay? So when a Democrat gets caught in a scandal, well, those are anonymous sources. What are we going to go with anonymous sources? When it's a Republican, sources are saying, Mays Moore put this together, here it was.
President Biden has spent days locked in intense preparation, surrounded by his closest advisors at Camp David. And our sources are telling us tonight that full mock debates are underway at the podium, under the lights. He's even watching tape to know exactly what he's going to see when he steps up to that lectern. His team shot a video during a walkthrough of the CNN studio. And as I reported while covering him at the White House, when Biden prepares, he does so incredibly intensively.
So just how worried were Biden aides before the former president's disastrous debate last summer? According to Ron Klain, his chief of staff, his concerns could not be overstated. At his first meeting with Biden for debate prep, quote, Klain was startled. He'd never seen Biden so exhausted and so out of it. Biden was unaware of what was happening in his own campaign. Halfway through the session, the president excused himself and went off to sit by the pool. Part about the pool, he went off, this is in the middle of debate prep, went off to the pool and he took a nap.
Pretty revealing, isn't it? And again, I want to stress this because there's this cabal. There's a third part of this that I left out. American elected Democrats obviously work hand in hand with the media. You get that. But then there's the 3 million federal employees, ones at the State Department, CIA, FBI, Pentagon. They, again, these are committed communists who believe they should run things. They have sources in the media as well. Pick up their phones. Don't pick up their phones, please. They're not yours. But if you picked up their phones and could look through them, you would find media contact after media contact. So when you're a communist who works at the Pentagon and you're unhappy with something Pete Hegseth says, you take your lunch break, you step outside. Hey, New York Times reporter, meet me for coffee after work. I have something for you. And you show up and you plan a damaging story. Democrats, media, government employees, they coordinate.
It is way past time that Hegseth should either quit or be fired.
And what's happened in the last, you know, few weeks about these two Signalgate atrocities just shows the lack of judgment and that he is the wrong person to be our Secretary of Defense.
Pete Hegseth and Mike Waltz should no longer be in the government, and it's just a complete lack of accountability that Donald Trump is showing by keeping them.
Pete Hegseth needs to resign. And if he won't, the president should fire him. No accountability sends the wrong message.
It's all coordinated. So this is not about Pete Hegseth or the current thing. This is about the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one after that. Don't let it distract you. They invent and create these things, all these headlines, all these questions. It's on CNN tonight. Let it go. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. By the way, Trump still vocally stands behind him, so good for Trump, good for Pete Hegseth. Let me talk to you about getting a good night's sleep. You need one every night. You gotta have it. I had to get up at 5 a.m. this morning. What did I do? 8:30 last night. Had myself a cup of hot chocolate with Dream Powder in it. This delicious cinnamon chocolate, which I love. Honestly, it's one of the better cups of hot chocolate I've ever had. Only it's got all kinds of natural things in it. Reishi, melatonin, things like that. Put you right to sleep. Sleep like a little baby. You want to sleep like that every night without feeling groggy when you wake up? That's what Dream Powder from Beam can do for you. Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
We don't need a military that's woman-friendly. We don't need a military that's gay-friendly, with all due respect to the Air Force. We need a military that's flat-out hostile. We need a military full of type A men who want to sit on a throne of Chinese skulls. But we don't have that now. We can't even get women off of naval vessels. That should be step one, but most of them are already pregnant anyway.
Ah, a little blast from the past there. Joining me now, Nick Adams, author of the book From Mar-a-Lago to Mars. Nick, you know, that I caught a lot of heat from that. Apparently the country of China is still upset with me about the whole thing, but it appears that the Pentagon is going to buy into that kind of thinking now, and that's a good thing.
Jesse Kelly, you were a man ahead of your time. Absolutely. It's great to join you on the show. And boy, oh boy, did you nail it or did you nail it? It was sensational. It's exactly what's happening. My good friend Secretary Hegseth is in there. He's getting rid of the social engineering experiment that was the military under Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. It's being turned into some war fighters that are going to, quote, a great man sit on the skulls of Chinese warriors. I think that was what you said.
Nick, it's very obvious that they're going to keep coming up with coordinated attacks on Hegseth. What is it about Pete? Of all the people, there's all kinds of people all over the administration, Marco and all of them, but Pete is the one they really want out of there. Why?
And that tells us that Pete is the one that we really, really need to stand by, Jesse. Look, I think that there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of envy. He's an outsider to the political world. President Trump handpicked him. He's now got one of the most powerful roles that there is. And he's doing a fabulous job. He's eliminated DEI. We're not even into 100 days yet of what he's been set out to do, but he's already made such incredible, significant strides in eliminating this woke stuff and getting rid of this DEI stuff. He's effective. He's a fabulous communicator. He's fearless. President Trump has his back. So he has the hallmarks of all of those things that the left hate. Not to mention, of course, Jesse, something you and I are very rich in, testicular fortitude.
Speaking of which, Trump continues to beat up Harvard, which I find hilarious. He's taking a bunch of money away from him. Now they're suing him for it. Talk to me about this, Nick.
Well, at the end of the day, Harvard is not a state university. Harvard is a private university, a private institution. So if it wants to make its curriculum DEI, if it so deeply and unabashedly and avowedly wants to have a DEI curriculum, then it should really fund itself and it shouldn't rely, it should do the honourable thing and reject public or federal funding and simply rely on its private tuition. It's a very expensive place for anyone to go, and that includes the Chinese students that are sent over to spy on Americans. So I think Harvard should just rely on its own income that it receives and forget about taking government money.
Ellie Mistel's been making the media rounds trying to sell some crappy book he has out. Here he was.
I don't give a lot of constitutional weight or heft to laws passed before 1965. Right? Because nobody asked me and nobody asked anybody to look like me. So why should I care what some old white judge and some old white legislature and some old white president decided was right for me? Living under the laws of the people who kidnapped my people and held us in bondage, that's not something they do anywhere else in the world. It's not like South Africa said, like, oh, that apartheid was bad, but you know what? We're just going to, like, clean up some of these laws, and okay, now we have... No, they were like, take your Boer constitution and put it in the trash. We will write another one, this time including everybody.
Well, does Jesse, it won't surprise you to learn...
They're just going to fully embrace the white hatred now.
Heft to Ellie Mistel. In fact, I had to look him up to know who he was. Look, I think that his comments are divisive, they're un-American, and quite frankly, they don't matter. He is irrelevant, and the last thing he should be doing is stoking the flames of racial division, which is what he appears to want to do here. America is the most colorblind society. It's the most multi-ethnic society. This is the place with the least racism in the world.
Nick, Jamie Raskin, boy, he said quite a thing. Here he was.
If and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
Well, Jesse,
Democrats are now threatening people
Jamie
like the
Rascal, but I think that that is too kind. Look, I think that his comments there are not only incendiary, but they're also a contravention of the Logan Act of 1799. It is absolutely outrageous that this person that calls himself a congressman would threaten other countries all because President Trump is going to do good deals with them and they're going to reciprocate. So it's outrageous that Jamie Rascal wants to come out and threaten other countries. I don't know who he thinks he is, but he's not the president. And if he continues to do and say the kinds of things that he's been doing and saying, I don't suspect he'll ever be in a position to carry out his threat anyway.
Nick, thank you. I appreciate it, brother. All right. Your knees hurt. Your back hurts. Your hips hurt. Have you ever thought about your shoes? And look, I say this because somebody told me about that forever ago. A doctor I knew, my back was driving me crazy, told me to bring in my workout shoes, my running shoes. I brought them in. He held them up to me and he said, what is this? And the soles were basically gone. Shoes will fix so many of your problems. Have you heard of G-Defy? Gravity Defier shoes? They're shoes with support like you've never seen before. They have all this custom technology in them. Your knees don't have to hurt. Your back doesn't have to hurt. Why don't you try a pair of G-Defy shoes? Just try one pair. That's all you own. Here's what you do. You go to G-Defy.com and you text, or you can text Jesse to 9188 for 30% or order off orders, $120 or more. We'll be back.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him. You said that up until July of last year.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline. And I hadn't at that point.
You did not see any decline from 2024 Joe Biden to 2021 Joe Biden?
Not when I said that. You know, the thing is, he was sharp. He was on his feet. I saw him live event. I had meetings with him a couple of times.
Senator, on his feet is not praise. He can speak in sentences is not praise.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So I have this theory. Joining me now, John Phillips, host of The John Phillips Show, which is now live on the wonderful KSFO in San Francisco. John, so I have this theory about politicians, because I always encourage people to run for office. And I tell them there's a time limit. The second you get elected, it will slowly but surely eat away at your soul the longer you're there. And eventually you're Elizabeth Warren, where you'll just tell these brazen lies without hesitation at all, that slowly you'll become no longer human. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I love the way that she was looking at him, because she looked like a parent who was lying to their kid. Yeah, you're going to the dentist, but it's not going to hurt. Just trust me on this one. Where you could tell that she was being only as honest as she had to be to get the result that she wanted. But what you saw there, I think more than anything, was an indictment of the media. How is it that Elizabeth Warren and the rest of them have been lying to us for years and years and years about his mental acuity, and she doesn't get asked about it until she's at the floral shop there? And suddenly, it's surprise, you have to explain away something that all of us know isn't true. And it was a lie. It was a complete lie. where we were watching him falling up the stairs on television on a daily basis, talking to dead people. Yet in private, when he's meeting with these Democrats, he's putting together Rubik's Cubes and doing advanced calculus. For a party that has been going on and on and on about the threat to democracy, think about this for a second. They lied to us for 4 years about a demented person who could hide his own Easter eggs, being in charge of the government, when an unelected, unknown body of people were actually calling the shots. And they never got straight with us about who it was that was making the decisions for the last 4 years. How in the world is that democracy?
Yeah. Are the American people angry about that aspect of it, John? I mean, angry at Democrats about the fact that the president of the United States of America wasn't functional. I know the American people rejected an open border. I know they were upset about inflation, and these were the big issues that carried Donald Trump into the White House. But I still, honestly, I laughed when we just put up that video of Joe Biden speaking, but I'm still angry about it. I still laugh about it, and I'm still angry that our country was led by that person for 4 years. Are the American people angry about it?
Whenever a party loses an election, there's always a million different factors that go into it. It's usually not one thing that causes you to win or to lose. And Kamala Harris was one of the ones who was in those closed-door rooms with Joe Biden and saw his current condition and lied to us about it on a regular basis. And I think the fact that everyone understood that she had to be aware of this and lied to us about it played a role in people thinking that she was not authentically true during the campaign, which I think was one of her top problems. She couldn't answer a question, and we didn't really know who this person was who wanted to be president, because she's on both sides of every issue. She's saying things that we know to be factually false. And I think that that ultimately ended up being her biggest problem. And lying to us about the condition of Joe Biden played a role in that.
What's she going to do now? Obviously, the rumors are flying. She's running for governor, that she may run back for president. But John, all these problems remain. It's not as if Kamala Harris has been sitting around doing a bunch of heavy reading, getting boning up on the issues and things like that. That's not, you don't change when you're 60 years old. She is what she's been. She's not going to have any success, certainly not running for president. Where's she go?
She doesn't think she's the reason that she lost. I'm sure she blames Joe Biden for not getting out earlier. I'm sure she blames the Democratic Party, people like Nancy Pelosi and Jim Carville, for wanting an open convention. So she doesn't look in the mirror and say, okay, you're the problem. She doesn't want to go out of politics as a loser. And that's what she is right now. She lost to Donald Trump. And there's a lot of Democrats out there who harbor resentment towards her because of it. So she needs to do something so that her Wikipedia page doesn't say the last act was her losing to Donald Trump. So she can do a couple of different things. She can run for president again, which she might do, in which case she might lose the Democratic primary. And then she goes out a double loser, someone who couldn't win when it was handed to her, and someone couldn't win a Democratic primary for a second time after being a sitting vice president. That would be horrible. Or she could find an office that she thinks is attainable, get elected to that, and say, okay, I may have lost to Donald Trump, but I was a two-term governor of California. The problem for that is that being governor of California is not an easy task, especially right now, where we're in crisis, whether it comes to insurance or homelessness or crime or the budget or fire mitigation or water, whatever. We need someone who's fully engaged, who's been thinking about these things for a while, who has some kind of idea as to what they will do to solve these problems. We don't need another absentee landlord. If she were to run for California governor and she has no ideas, it's going to be a brutal campaign, because that's going to be pointed out at various times on the campaign trail, and she's going to look foolish. If her name ID is enough to get her elected, she's going to be elected to an office that is a full-time job plus, where she doesn't even have interest in the subject matter that she'll have to deal with, let alone some kind of background in solving those problems. So I think that's a minefield for her too. I don't think there are any good options in elected office for Kamala Harris right now.
But how is she going to face any kind of scrutiny from the California media when she never has before? Do they have a new belle of the ball in the Democrat Party out there?
If the Democratic candidates think she has no viability in the future to be president, then she can't punish them. And if she can't punish them, then it's like you're playing in the NFL and the defense lines up offside and you have a free play. So they might be a little bit more aggressive with her than you're expecting them to be. Also, keep in mind who's in this field. You have Eleni Konilakis, who's the lieutenant governor, who is a billionaire. She's from one of the top 10 richest families in California. So if she wants to go scorched earth, she has the resources to really go scorched earth. And the other one is Katie Porter, who everyone in the Democratic Party hates. She ran against their beloved Adam Schiff for the U.S. Senate and got real nasty with him during that campaign, lost that. She has nothing to lose. And if Kamala Harris stands in her way, I have zero doubt that the same woman who dumped a pot of boiling hot potatoes on her ex-husband's head is willing to slam dunk another pot of potatoes right on Kamala.
Yeah, you don't want to get in front of Katie Porker. She will eat you up. By the way, you're being pretty hard on California, but Oakland seems to have things figured out. This is their new mayor.
Hour. You're calling for a $50 an hour federal minimum wage. That's seven times the current national minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Can you explain how that would be economically sustainable for small businesses? You have 60 seconds.
Do the math. Just do the math. Of course, we have national minimum wages that we need to raise to a living wage. You're talking about $20, $25, fine. But I have got to be focused on what California needs and what the affordability factor is when we calculate this wage.
Ms. Lee, thank you. Mr. Garvey, you...
John, at some point in time, we get the government we deserve. It's hard to feel bad for Oakland at this point in time. Enjoy.
Close your eyes and re-listen to that and tell me that's not Steve Urkel. You know, she's been in Congress for how many decades now? And then suddenly she loses. She came in fourth when she ran for U.S. Senate, and she was going to go out a loser and decided, okay, well, I'll find the next available job that's open, and I'll do that. So she's going to be the mayor of Oakland, where the last mayor, who was just recalled from office, is looking at 90-plus years in prison for corruption. Part of her final days in office was selling the Coliseum where the Raiders and the A's used to play. That deal is now being called into question. The city's budget depended on that going through. So if that deal is clawed back, my guess is Oakland will be bankrupt. The 911 system doesn't work. The In-N-Out Burger just shut down a profitable location because they said they couldn't make sure that their employees and customers were safe. And now at almost 80 years of age, she decides that this is the job that she wants to take on. It's going to look like the day after the end of the world by the time she leaves office. And it kind of already does now.
Oh gosh. So Oakland's going to get worse. That's just amazing to me. Yeah. John, thank you, my friend, as always. All right. It's Earth Day. I don't care. But we have a hippie on next. Don't worry. She's on our side. Talk to Kay about it. Before we get to Kay, let me talk to you about Pure Talk. None of us are getting any richer, right? We all want to save money. You know, the average family saves $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. I said $25 because for $25, you get unlimited talk, text, and a huge amount of data. $25 a month. What are you paying now for your cell phone bill? Family of four lines, $100. This is from the Patriotic cell phone company. They're on the same 5G network. Why wouldn't you switch to Pure Talk? Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and make the switch. We'll be back. Well, I know you're going to be a little bit shocked about this, but I am aware that today is Earth Day. I am only aware of this because my producer told me I don't give a crap about Earth Day, but I bet Kay does. We felt the need to bring a hippie on to talk about Earth Day and all the weirdness surrounding it. Joining me now, my friend Kay Smythe Hill, campaign and content manager, and I quote, conservative hippie for Christ. Kay, happy Earth Day with your Earth crystals or whatever else you people do on this day.
No, I'm not. Okay. Okay. That is like the best and worst intro I think I've ever had in my life, Jesse. Hello. I've missed you. Okay. Firstly, every day is Earth Day. If you love God, if you're a follower of Christ, every day is Earth Day. We are called to protect the planet, to shepherd it, to steward it, to live in it, to understand it. And I think that's really fun. You can call me crazy. You can call me a little conservative hippie, but I love it. And that's kind of been my personal brand for a long time. And I actually think Earth Day is really dumb. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's like those, what are the other things you do out here? Like special months for like lesbians and stuff. Like it's just another one of those. It's just a little pat on the shoulder.
Yeah, no,
to people who think that they're doing good.
Yeah. No, Lesbian Month, I believe it just got ended. That was the Women's March Madness tournament. But either way, okay, so look, you may find it hard to believe, but I like the Earth too. I don't litter. I scream at people who do. I enjoy hunting and hiking and fishing. The problem is protecting the Earth got taken over by a bunch of filthy, murderous commies who believe that driving an SUV destroys the planet, and that's where everybody got lost on it. Now nobody wants to hear the crap anymore.
I think you're right. I think that's why everyone's like so exhausted and disgusted by, I don't want to say our relationship with the planet, but like no one really wants to hear it. No one wants to hear about the fact that we've kind of lived in symbiosis with an ever-changing climate since the dawn of civilization. Like what we're experiencing, these sort of fluctuations, getting hit with extreme weather events, it's nothing new. It's just something new, fresh, and exciting for scientists to try and make money off of. And for all of these billionaires flying around preaching about like transgender volcano day of climate change or whatever, preaching about these things from their private jets, it's a really great way for them to make money through fear-mongering. I think it's kind of sad that that's been normalized because, as you said, like when you really get down to it, like the planet is really cool. You can go hunt. You can go fish. You can go and hike in it. You can go and explore it. You do get to see cool stuff like volcanoes erupting. And so long as no one dies, it just stays being really cool and exciting to watch. But we've had all these really ugly, boring people kind of co-opt this entire field. And I'm sort of hoping with someone like RFK Jr. involved in the Trump administration, we can kind of get back to normalizing the fact that conservatives are actually better at taking care of the planet than any of these liberals ever were, and all of their science is liars.
Yeah, I would invite everybody to go look at the pictures of a cobalt mine. Speaking of Lee Zeldin, here he was.
I have zero tolerance for any waste or abuse at all. So we come into this office fulfilling our pledge to Congress to get to the bottom of this. And as we overturn different rocks and we find more evidence of waste and abuse, there are some members of the media who have dug in further into saying that there's no evidence. Why wouldn't you write that there is any evidence?
Could you point us to where the judges have found that there's waste, fraud, and abuse?
Oh, see, it's not that easy for you, Lisa. I have a duty to make sure that we don't light on fire billions of dollars of tax dollars. And I am, as administrator of EPA, not going to stand before any member of the media and get bullied into lighting billions of dollars on fire. And then you'll continue to write these stories that say that there is no evidence. Even though I could stand before you right now and just go through the list, how do you square that?
May I ask, sir, do you feel confident that a court will uphold?
I'm asking you, how do you square that? You guys are writing the stories. Shouldn't you write the story about what kind of evidence has been put out?
Kay, how's he doing?
I think he's doing good. I would like to see the list because I think it's going to be so obnoxiously extensive that it would pretty much destroy the entire sort of like big science climate change cabal when it comes to waste. I mean, we're talking about how many of those wind turbines have you seen as you've driven across this incredible country? They're a horrific scar on the landscape. They don't actually generate anywhere near enough energy. They will never offset the energy, certainly, that's used to produce them. They mostly just turn because they're powered by coal power plants. I mean, it's fraud. It's not just a scam. It's not just this sort of like, oh, this is like the silly new way for like the billionaires to get richer, blah, blah, blah. This is actually fraud to the most extreme degree. And it's been so insidious that it's normalized in our academic institutions. Like, we're going to look back. I honestly think that we will look back on this chapter in our sort of treatment of the planet, the same way that we kind of look back on like the 20s and 30s, like medical industry, just with this absolute disdain and horror that we would ever do anything so stupid. But I kind of agree. I like that Lee Zeldin is fighting back against the media. Like, he doesn't answer to the media. He answers to his voters. That's it. I kind of want to see that list. I think that's just going to, you know, build more trust, more accountability. And I like an irrefutable argument. I don't know. That's just me as an outsider.
Kay, it feels like Americans are rejecting this stuff. Maybe we got kind of beaten down and bought in for a while, but it feels like America is kind of drifting the other way. I don't know that that is applying globally, though, places like Europe and other backwards areas. What do you see?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Europe is completely focused on all of the wrong things. Like, they're completely focused on climate change, and they're absolutely obsessed with, you know, trying to eradicate women's rights. And it's kind of sad. I don't know, Jesse, maybe you can tell me a little bit about this since you have a little bit more experience. But when it comes to Europe's positioning in the world, right, it's kind of exposed. You've got Russia, who want to reclaim the former Soviet Union, who I think would go as far as to take the rest of Europe just to say, you know, to the rest of the Europeans. I think we're extremely close to the sort of normalization of this like Islamic state. And we already know that Al-Qaeda is like absolutely pushing for an Islamic caliphate, which is next door to Europe. And then you've got China, who's just sitting, watching, waiting, ready to fund anyone who is ready to go attack Europe. But their long-term goal is just to turn everyone sort of Han Chinese anyway. So I sort of see Europe in this like really ignorant precipice, kind of like just before the fall of Rome, where they're all still sitting in the theater watching the gladiators fight, not realizing that the enemy is at the door, and they're all focusing on all of the wrong things. I don't know. That's just me again.
No, you're not wrong. They are surrounded. Everybody's coming at them. It's like Lindsey Graham on a Navy ship. Kay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Come back soon. All right. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And a reminder that we have a YouTube channel. You should go subscribe to it. It's free. I'm not going to charge you anything for it. At Jesse Kelly DC on the YouTube channel. We put all kinds of stuff up there. Thought today would be a good day to pick some comments on the YouTube channel. Jesse, I really appreciate the show. I drive a truck third shift. As soon as I'm in the truck, Bluetooth connects. I'm listening to your show. In my 11 hours of driving, I get the opportunity to listen to a lot of podcasts. Your show sets the standard. It definitely does. I agree with that guy 100%. Dear Mr. Kelly, I must say I'm outright impressed by the range and depth of your brilliance. Me too. Like living proof, James Madison, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Henry Knox were simply ignorant colonists with no, I don't know how to say that word, erudite, whatever, notions regarding governments compared to your bottomless mind. I can basically see they were now drooling idiots. And then he goes on to use a bunch of other really big words that I don't want to go into right now. Brian says, as always, Jesse Kelly's giving the most perfect monologues in the world. Nothing sums up our situation better than his monologues. We are utterly doomed if the Trump administration does not react properly. All that and more is at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC.